Let me welcome you to our time of worship. My name is David Langrish, a pastor at Bethlehem Lutheran Church. We're in Lakewood, Colorado, and have now joined with you wherever you are. And I know so many of you, and just want you to know I love you, and some of you I haven't seen in a while. I miss you. But God's blessings as we do come together in worship. We're beginning a sermon series in the season of Lent called Cross Words, and dealing with some of the challenging words sometimes that God brings to us so that he might bring us to life. We're going to celebrate Holy Communion today, so prepare yourself for that. And then let's begin today a time of true worship, of engaging with the God of the universe who loves us very much, as we worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name. Fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. 'Cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus, shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Your name is life. just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Peace of mind.
sun's light. And this will be my song. And you are always good. I'll sing it all day long. You are always good.
I encourage you now just to take a moment of quiet in your spirit where you allow yourself to reflect on where you are in your relationship with the Lord, and specifically the things that maybe God needs to cut out of your life and where you need to honestly confess your sin. And let's take time and pray. Let's expose our hearts to God to be healed by Him. We pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, there are many temptations that come into this world. But sometimes, Lord, we have to admit not only do they come our way, but we might be part of them. And we ask, Lord, that you would free us, deliver us from any temptations, whether we're the cause, whether we're the victim, whatever it might be, Lord. And Lord, help us to recognize where those temptations lead. We confess to you, Lord, that we're broken. We struggle, Lord, and it's the truth. And our sin is evidence not only of a broken humanity, but also a relationship with you that needs some healing. And Lord, we're turning to you for that. Forgive us our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Take away from us what we cannot remove for ourselves. And Lord, we're looking to you solely because of Jesus. We don't deserve this. We don't earn it. We don't merit it in any way. But we believe you love us because you've given Jesus and because of what he has done, because of his love, because of his sacrifice. We ask that you would forgive us. And the beauty of the Bible's message is that none of this depends on us. As we are broken, as we are sinners, when we see that God is calling us to have our sins forgiven, he is the one who forgives. And he's doing it for you again today. God is forgiving you and continues to forgive your sin. It just continues throughout your life. And as you've put things before him today, know that the burden of that, the guilt of that, is completely removed because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Savior. You are forgiven. Amen. As God's forgiven people, let's turn our attention to his word to see what is God speaking to us today. This first reading comes from the book of Genesis. It's Genesis chapter 22, beginning at verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham arose from one of the mountains and early in the morning saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey, and I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand and set the fire and the knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, "My father, here am I, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham!" And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you do fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram, caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place that was called, "The Lord Will Provide," as is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." That is God's word. This next reading comes from Letter to the Hebrew Christians, Hebrews 12, beginning at verse 1. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." That is God's word. And then finally, a gospel reading from Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse 7. Jesus said, "Woe to the world for temptations to sin. For it is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the one by whom the temptations come. And if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire." That is God's word. Having heard God's word, let's join together with the saints throughout the centuries in professing our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Well, grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from...
Pastor Dyer, is it now?
Not yet, Jaden. Grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from God...
Pastor Dyer, is it now?
No, not now, Jaden. Grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from God our Father and...
Pastor Dyer, is it now?
No, Jaden. Grace, peace and mercy be unto you. From God our Father.
Pastor Dyer, is it now?
No, cut it out! And I don't know if you see Jaden's face very well, but when I yelled at him, it went from this expression of, hey, I want to participate, hey, I want to join in, the innocent little first grader's face. And these harsh words cut it out. They were cross. They were mean. And you saw Jaden's smile and that anticipation drop to a fear, a wondering. What's going on? I know. He goes, I said, what's going on? And he says, I don't know. That's the innocence of a child. And at the beginning part of our text this day, Jesus said, you must be like a little child, like Jaden. He's just innocent. When I said, hey, Jaden, you want to be part of the sermon? Sure. Hey, I've got some lines for you. Okay. I want you to interrupt me. All right. You see, that innocence, that's why it's fun to be with you. Jaden, you know I'm not mad at you. All right. Give me a little hug here. All right, thank you. You can go. You know, the challenge as we begin in this text, Jesus is trying to teach us. And sometimes he's teaching to a deaf world that doesn't want to listen. Sometimes he's preaching to an obstinate and stubborn heart. And people plant their feet firmly in the ground and say, no, this is how I want to act. And yet Jesus gives us a great admonition here, some very cross words. Cut it out! And I don't know for you if you were offended initially when you heard me begin this interaction. You're wondering, what is a little kid doing in the sermon this week? But I wanted you to see the reaction. What harsh words such as cut it out do. It made Jaden stop and think for a second. Now, Jaden's a first grader in our school, the youngest son, Melissa and Scott Fisher. Melissa's a kindergarten teacher here, and Scott's our PE and athletic director. Jaden's got a good heart. But I know that by me yelling at him, cut it out, that I got his attention. And you saw his face kind of droop a little bit, like, what's next? And maybe that's how we react when we hear God's word. And we go, that's not very fair. That's not very fun. I don't want to hear God yell at me. Cut it out. I've got too many scars. I've got too much of my past. All I can hear is my dad's voice saying to me, cut it out. And so when we hear Jesus say it, sometimes don't know how to react. What's to make of it? How can a loving God scream at me, cut it out? Why would he do that? Well, as we'll see in our text here, God does it because he cares for you and he cares for those that are around you. And Jesus tells us here that our own sin, our temptation to sin, are stumbling blocks. First and foremost, for ourselves, which leads us into sin. And secondly, the possibility of leading others astray. From Matthew chapter 18, Jesus says these words. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like a little child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever becomes like a little child, like this, in my name, welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, It would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Oof. Leading others astray, that my sin, my stubbornness, might lead others astray. The idea of these crosswords is to catch our attention, to help us see and look into the mirror and realize, hey, what you're doing, what you're talking about, what you're saying, what you're indulging yourself in, you may think, no one else is affected, but it's coming out. I was annoyed because I was interrupted by Jaden. Trying to start the video camera, trying to make sure that I start off the sermon well. Do I have posture right? Is my face right? Is my voice ready to go? And Jaden kept going, is it now? Is it now? You see, my anger at being interrupted caused me to lash out. Now, God is not angry with us in that same way. He's not coming at it from sin. You see, when God says, cut it out, he's saying, look, I know more than you do. I see what's going to happen in your future. And if you continue down this path, you're headed down a wrong path. I want you to cut it out. Cut it off. Get rid of it. These are the kinds of phrases that this imagery employs in these next verses. Matthew 18, 7 through 9. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to sin. Such things must come, but woe to the man through whom they come. If your hand and your foot or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. Cut it off. Throw it away. Get rid of it. It's not doing you any good. Cross words from a Savior that knows you cold. From a God who sees your inner heart and your inner thoughts. He knows what you struggle with. And I know that you may have a tendency to hear the cross words because they resonate from your father. And maybe his anger is what got him cross with you. The issues he was dealing with, not much patience. But this is not the imagery that I want you to paint towards God. God is not impatient, but patient with us. It's just that the words cross over. Cut it out. I think our parents meant well when they told that to us. They wanted us to stop the behavior that was annoying or bordering on intruding into their own lives. But you see, when God does it, he speaks in that way because he wants us to understand the rashness, the harshness of what sin does in our lives. Yes, Jesus is speaking in hyperbole. If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off. Better for you to enter the kingdom with one foot or one hand. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to enter hell with two. Do you realize how much sin in your life does damage to you? To your faith, to those around you. Maybe you have an unbelieving neighbor, and every time they see you scream at your kids, they just go, why would I become a Christian that hasn't changed them? Or maybe at work you're always late or unreliable. People giving you second chances after second chances, but the second one of the people you're working with on your team or an underling doesn't do something, they hear you react in an unkind, unloving, and unforgiving way. You think that your eyes scrolling through Instagram hour after hour doesn't hurt anyone. But all of a sudden you look down at your watch and you realize it's been hours since you've spoken to anyone in your family. Or if you're single and at home, you realize, I could have called my friend who might need encouragement today. That which was pleasing to your eye filled your needs and further caused you to shrink and shrink and shrink. And then you have the temerity to say, no one cares about me. Nobody called me. Nobody reached out to me. And yet you don't realize it's your own sin that is separating you from those around you. Sometimes your sin causes shame and you're like, well, if people really knew who I was and the difficulties and the challenges that I face, no one would want to be around me. And so you close off your heart. That's a problem too, because I'm not going to let anyone hurt me ever again. Maybe not. But as you close off your heart, you're closing off love. And it won't be by happenstance that those around you will feel less and less loved by you. But it's too great a risk. It hurts too much. Cut it off. Let it go. Get rid of it. I'm reminded that Jesus absolutely knows temptation. Satan, he was good, tempting him with power and authority and gratitude, all of these kinds of things. And Jesus said, no, that's not for me. What I came to do was to die, to be cut off, to be separated from God. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do, Jesus said. Can you believe that? Can you believe how incredible it is that Jesus would do that for you? That despite knowing your sin, he says, I love you anyway, and I forgive you. Now, let's chisel off the sin, and the temptation, and the darkness, and the fear, and the bitterness, and the anger. It's as if Jesus himself had a hammer and a chisel. And this harsh word, we know it's going to cause pain, but he says, I want to help you get rid of fear and shame and anger, lust, doubt, lying. I want to get rid of the things that are holding you back from being that little child that I called you to be, who's innocent. But Jesus, it'll hurt. I know, he says. It's a challenge to make the prayer, God, change me. Cut from me that which needs not be there. Be ruthless in my life. Show me my sin. Get rid of it. Cut it off so that I can let it go. Friend in Christ, the seeming pains of hearing God's law that show us our sin is not meant to keep us with our head bowed or splayed out on the floor, that we're feeling bad. But he says, no, in view of God's mercy, in view of God's incredible love for you by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you, to take your sin upon himself and die the death that we deserve. And that's happened. You know Jesus. You believe in him. And yet there is still sin that needs to be chiseled and cut off, cut out. And I know it's a scary thought, and it may seem like a scary process, but you can trust him. In one of C.S. Lewis's book, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, there's a scene where Eustace, who feels useless, is a greedy young boy. And he goes running off from the group because he's selfish and they don't want to help him and they don't want to focus on him and he's feeling hurt and wounded. And he falls asleep in a cave, and when he wakes up, he looks down, and it's a cave filled with gold, and he thinks, yes, I've arrived! And all of a sudden, he realizes as he looks down, there's a golden bracelet around one of his arms, and yet as he looks at his arm, he realizes it's not his arm, but it's a dragon's arm. And he comes out of the cave into the light, and he kind of freaks out a little bit because he realizes that he's become a dragon. And this imagery is his pride and his selfishness. And other people have made fun of him. So he said, well, I'm going to stand on my own 2 feet and I'm going to take on dragon skin and no one will be able to hurt me ever again. I'll have impenetrable skin. The problem is that the dragon skin is too big for the blessing of the gold wrist ring. And he tries to scrape it off and he can't get it off and he can't get the skin off. And he's starting now to be in pain. And he looks into the water of the river next to him and he realizes, as this dragon, I don't want to be a dragon. I want to be a boy again. And Aslan comes on the scene and he says, trust me, Eustace. I will take off the dragon skin. I will clean you off from that hardened exterior. Lewis writes, Eustace gets into the water and Aslan takes his claws and he says, he dug so deep as he ripped the dragon flesh off of me piece by piece. And I was screaming in pain. Oh, stop. No, I need it to happen. And as Aslan continued to do it, finally, I was stripped away from that dragon skin. And I was the little boy that I was made to be in those waters. They refreshed me, they cleansed me, and they healed me. Yes, a great story about what baptism does for us. You see, sometimes we have to be willing to cut it off. In late 2003, I met Aaron Ralston, who earlier that year, a Coloradan who had been canyoneering in Utah in Blue John Canyon, had gotten pinned by an 800-pound boulder with his arm. I met him at REI. He was just shopping in the climbing section, and I just stood by. He already had a prosthetic arm on, because you see, when he was caught by that boulder 5 days later, he cut off his own arm to save himself. And I said to Aaron, I said, hey, it's an incredible story. I hope you get to share it with lots of people. I said, where are you at right now? And not the physical part, but the emotional part of this healing process. And what is it that you most tell people? And he said, I just simply tell them that in their life there are boulders pinning them down and that at times you've got to be willing to simply cut off your arm to survive. Now, again, he's speaking in metaphor. My prayer for you this Lenten season is that you hear the crosswords of Jesus And when confronted with sin, you are prepared to cut it off, to have it chiseled away. Because the grace of God wants you to return to that little child of faith daily, over and over, with the humility of that child, with the innocence of that child, with the playfulness of that child. By God's grace, I know that He can do it. My prayer is that you're willing to let Him cut it off. Amen. And now may this word of the Lord truly strengthen your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until His return to take us home. Amen.
Let me invite you into a time of prayer to bring the things that are in your heart, the prayers of our community before our Lord. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You this day for being our God and for hearing us. And Lord, just for every person engaged in worship right now, I pray Your peace and Your presence, Your power, Your might. You know the desires of our hearts. You know the things that weigh on our hearts. And I pray, Lord, You would strengthen us. For those who are dealing with injury or recovering from surgeries, just bless the rehab, the treatment. Lord, we have a member who's undergoing chemo treatment for cancer, and pray You'd be with her, strengthen her body, and bless the results of that treatment. And Lord, many, many other things. There are many burdens we carry in life as well, Lord. And sometimes we are walking through that valley of the shadow of death. We have a teacher in our early learning center, Lord, whose family is dealing with some hardship as she has a relative who's gone through a loss of a young child. And this little baby was only 6 months old. And so there's just heartache in the extended family and for the family here at Bethlehem too. It's sad, Lord. Just pray a comfort and strength for them in just unbelievably difficult circumstances and sorrow. Lord, also we give You thanks for the opportunity You give us to serve You. I pray our congregation would be faithful in doing that. For those who perhaps have some ideas of a people, a segment we could reach in a new way, bring those ideas forward as we have the Is This You conversations, as we continue to flesh out the strategy of what we believe, Lord, You want us to do for the next 5 years. Lord, keep us on track with You. May it all be Your direction, Your leading, Your Spirit. And pray, Heavenly Father, for our second campus that will be starting officially not until August, but already now the members are kind of getting used to the idea down there. They're part of Bethlehem and just the transition, all the logistics of that, especially with Tiny Violets, the child care center that's down there. I just pray You would make that go smoothly. And as we launch then this summer, Lord, make it a powerful outreach into the community in Littleton. And Lord, I pray for our care point down in Guatemala. I pray for all of our families, Angelica and the staff down there. I pray that they would be effective in reaching into their community. And Lord, I know it's a long process to turn the tide of poverty and just the things that challenge that community. So help us, Lord, to see bit by bit the progress, the improvement, and the freedom in life that You desire to give, not just from physical hardships, but spiritually as well. And all of this, Lord, as we pray it, it's in the name of Jesus, our Savior, who has taught us to pray together as a family. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now let us join Jesus at His table. It's His supper, and He gives to us the gifts of Himself, His body and blood. For our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He'd given thanks, He broke it, and He gave it to the disciples and now to you, saying, "Take and eat. This is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." At that same meal, Jesus also took the cup of blessing, and again, giving thanks to God, He gave it to His disciples, and now you, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in My blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of Me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. And if you're not receiving communion, still receive God's blessing. He loves you. He's called you to be his family member, his child, and believe that he strengthens you now as his. In Jesus' name, amen. And now take and eat. This is the body of your Lord Jesus Christ given for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And then take and drink. This is Christ's blood, and it is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins.
Peace, bring it all to peace. The storm surrounding me, let it break. At your name, still, call the sea to still, the rage in me to still. Every wave at your name, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. Call these bones to live, call these lungs to sing once again. I will praise still, call the sea to still, the rage in me to still, every way.
And now, this eating of Christ's body, this drinking of his blood, strengthen you and preserve you steadfast in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. And we do go in peace with the blessing of our God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Thank you for this time of worship with you. We'll continue to have Wednesday services on campus if you want to worship at 10 a.m. or 6 p.m. during this Lenten season. Also, just something maybe you heard in the message today or God put on your heart during worship, think of how can you invite somebody else into that? And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be with you. So love on, everyone. You're changing the world. Love on.